Morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here and celebrate the very first day of this new year together. Hear the word of the Lord from the Psalms. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. As for me, I will always have hope, and I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God. Though you've made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. And I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. Hear the word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah. People are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Hear the word of the Lord from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God for his word. Hope amidst adversity is the title of the message this morning. As we face a new year, how do we find hope in the midst of justice was talked about in the children's chat here when we don't know what our calendar will look like? Oftentimes we reflect back over the last year, and maybe what we knew of last year's what we hope for the new year, and maybe what happened last year we hope doesn't happen in the new year. During the holiday season, we often throw around the word hope. As a child, we hope for that special gift. As a teenager, we hope we're accepted and liked. As an adult, we hope that promotion, that house, or that wonderful relationship happens. We also hope for joy, health, and good news. It's interesting that most religions present some form of hope message. My Christian faith during this season screams hope into the hopelessness of life's struggles and pain. The Jewish holiday Hanukkah is also about hope in a hopeless situation. So how do we find hope in these struggles of life? How do we find hope when the doctor says it's cancer, or our spouse leaves, or we lose our job? As a chaplain, I have been there on the joyful days of a successful recovery after an illness or accident. However, I've often been there when the doctor delivers bad news. This is cancer. I can't fix it. I'm sorry to tell you, your loved one did not make it. More than that, as a human being, I too have heard the good news and the bad news. This year was an interesting year for me. Of course, I began a new job here in September of, 21. right in the midst of the COVID surge. It was pretty chaotic for me at the hospital and in healthcare. And just prior to that, I worked immediately in hospice before that for a while. And we watched a lot of people die. And it's tough. But more than that, more personally, last January, I am a Hodgkin's cancer survivor and a prostate cancer survivor, and things have been stable and good. And then I had a scan in January, and out here, and they never scanned me before at this place, and so, of course, they didn't have any records to go by. But I got a phone call and a letter immediately saying, hey, you need to follow up with this right away. Scans after scan, doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment, another biopsy, my seventh biopsy in 5 years. And so I saw the doctor that had treated me for prostate, was following me from a Hodgkin's in Florida, and she said, I'm pretty sure that the Hodgkin's is a concern. It's probably advancing from what I'm feeling. And your world whirls. Thankfully, the biopsy was negative, but there are still concerns that with the Hodgkin's, it doesn't just go away. The nodes are there. I have to live with that and have the anxiety of those scans every 6 months or so. I clearly remember in the year 2015, I was completing a residency, a one-year residency in chaplaincy and level one trauma at Ruby Hospital in West Virginia. And in the middle of that, I went with my wife to an appointment where the doctor came out and she said, I'm pretty sure that's cancer and it could be a bad one. And after months of the anxiety of working through that, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and went through treatments. And so she finished her radiation treatments, thankfully just had to have radiation, and we went out to celebrate with dinner. And on the way to dinner, my primary care doctor called me. I just had a scan a half hour before that and said, I hate to tell you, Dan, but I'm pretty sure that what I'm seeing looks like lymphoma. And a few months of anxiety of working through all of this stuff. How do we find hope in the midst of this? I don't know what your year has been or what your year will look like. But my friends, hope is something we can always have. You see, hope may change. Now, one of the things I like to do is my therapy from a kind of a stressful job, emotionally stressful job, and then I see a lot of bad stuff. I work with great people and all that, but that's the tough part for me. But I like to cook. I like to bake. And my boys and I go to hunting camp. The first question in August is like, Dad, what are we going to be making? Because they all like to cook with me. And so we gain about 15 pounds at hunting camp. And one of the things I like to do, and this year I passed out to all the different units, I made, I think, double recipe of these cookies for about a week straight every night. They're chocolate chip, peanut butter chip, pecan cookies. Yum. And they're wonderful. And the biggest complaint at the hospital is you didn't make enough of them. But I was thinking about this. How is hope like those cookies? Well, simply put, when you begin to make those cookies, you put a lot of ingredients together, and it forms this little, you make these little balls of dough, right? You put it in the oven and you bake it, and it produces this wonderful, delightful, absolutely amazing cookie. It's still the same thing, but it changes, doesn't it? It changes form in the midst of that heat and the oven and all that is a part of that. I never forget years ago, a hospice nurse that we both began working in hospice at the same time in about 2001, and she eventually went to another company. I went to another company and then worked in a hospital a while and stuff and came back. And her husband was actually ill at this time, and he eventually died from that cancer. But she said, Dan, I always train my nurses that you can always have hope. When we go to the doctor, we hope it isn't cancer, but then we find out it is. We hope it can be treated, then we might find out that it can't. Now we hope we don't suffer and our death will be peaceful. We find hope in those things around us. And she said to me, there are basically three things that are important then. One, we want our suffering to be minimized. We hope we don't suffer and our pain can be controlled. Two, we know that if we know that someone loves us and we love someone, then that gives us strength. And three, our faith in God and our hope from our spiritual belief. Those are the things that cannot be taken away even by suffering, illness, and death. You see, hope is not a fantasy that things will be well when they really are not, nor is it a useless dream, but it is a reality. And so as we begin a new year, how do we find hope in what we may face? Illness, tragedy, brokenness around us. The Apostle Paul declared in Romans 8, by the way, a man who died for his faith, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. I think back to my father's story. He was born in 1926, premature, didn't walk till he was 5 or 6, then had rheumatic fever as a teenager. So he had a weak heart most of his life. And I remember he was a steel worker, and he would be off a few weeks for his health, often in the hospital. And he said one time that I was just so low and not even able to think because of my physical state that all I could do was say, help me, God. And God hears that prayer. This scripture reflects that, the groanings that we cannot even express sometimes. As I said, I've stood with people on the worst days of their life, when entire families were killed, when entire families died of illness, when tragedy struck. And I've been on the other side of some of those days personally. And yet, the scripture goes on to say that the Father who knows our hearts pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. And a verse that we all know well, no doubt, is we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, we have overwhelming victory in ours through Christ who loved us. The Apostle Paul says that I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life nor angels or demons. Fears for today or our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, in life's darkest days, we can still have hope. The psalm that we read earlier here suggests that hope can always exist. It's a special psalm. Some of the Bibles will have it titled as a prayer for God's help in old age. And I've used this psalm when I worked in hospice, particularly with a lot of people near the end of life as they're weakening, and maybe they've gone through years of suffering and aging, and things have taken their toll where they know that sense of weakness in their body. And that psalm so beautifully describes how that journey looks like from birth to the grave, and accepts the reality that life does change and have some difficult places. And we may grow weak, and yet God is still present and gives us hope. Notice it says in verse 5 that you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord. We know from the past that God has been our hope. I know from the past experiences of walking with family through death and dying and experiencing my own losses and my own health and so forth, that God has been with me. In fact, sometimes it's during those times that I felt God the closest. I had gone to the University of Florida, received proton radiation, which is a newer type of radiation for the prostate cancer, and we were away from family, and it was January to April in Florida, so that was a positive. But there were days that didn't feel so well, and you felt lonely and afraid. And so I decided each day I would write a positive reflection and share it on Facebook as my journey, my spiritual journey, as a time when I felt probably as close to God in my life as I ever have. Because God spoke peace to me each day. It was interesting how that often happened. Sometimes it would be a friend that shared a scripture with me that I had just been reading or reflecting on. And God used those things for me to create a devotional, not only to bless myself, but others around me. Yes, we know from the past that God has been with us and given us hope. But this chapter 71 of the Psalms also discusses the loneliness, the pain, the weakness, and the difficulty of suffering and aging. Doesn't sound real hopeful, does it? But it declares, "As for me, I will always have hope." So we move from the fact that God has been our hope to the realization or the belief or the faith that God will always be my hope. And I will praise you more and more. In fact, the psalm ends with singing. My father was a tremendous musician, gifted musician, most of his life, and a prize-winning poet. And music was a part of our family. In fact, dad's been gone since 2009, but my brother has the original piano that mom and dad bought in 1949 when they got married. And my dad always said he loved to play the piano because he expressed however he felt and whatever he was going through, and taught many people on that piano to play the piano. Music is a healer of the soul, but Psalm 71 ends with kind of that theme of, I'm going to be singing praise to you. It's interesting that we move from a state of weakness and suffering to being able to sing praise. This is the promise of the believer, that he will raise us up again, as this psalm says. And so hope is always with us. But hope also produces the Advent themes of joy and peace. Joy is not the same thing as fun. But because we have hope, we may have inner peace, wholeness, contentment that spills over to others. The passage from Romans that we read declares, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the midst of sadness, suffering, or disappointment, hope can fill us. Our hope can overflow to others. It's been amazing to me as I observe people of faith, and I probably have been present in hospice particularly. I probably attended hundreds of deaths. But when people have a spiritual hope that overflows, I think of my dear nephew at the age of 25, lost his battle to cancer. And I remember that Christmas day as we all gathered at his bedside in the hospital. He was not doing well, and he did live a little while after that. They didn't think he'd make it through the night, but he lived a couple months. But I remember when I was diagnosed with cancer, he was one of the people that encouraged me the most. And the first question he asked me that day was how I was doing. And I wanted to say to him, Jamie, you're dying of cancer. I can tell your time's near. Jamie had experienced intense suffering with cancer, And a few years before that, he lost his brother. It was one of the police officers killed in Pittsburgh a number of years ago. And that family went through so much suffering, but yet hope is still present in the midst of that suffering. And so Jamie learned somehow in the midst of his suffering to overflow hope to others. Hope gives us strength when we feel helpless and weak. Isaiah 40 declares, people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. I'm an old landscaper. I owned a landscaping company when I was young, before I went into ministry. My youngest son has a landscaping business back in Pittsburgh, and I still enjoy the beauty of good landscaping and flowers, etc. But they fade, don't they? That rose lasts for a while, but it eventually fades. The grass withers, and this time of year in this part of the country, we know that the grass is withered and the flowers have faded. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. For God gives us hope and strength from that hope, even when we feel helpless and weak. Hope also provides security when life is shaky. You see, adversity may rock our world, but you will be secure because there's hope. These are the words given to Job in the midst of intense suffering. That verse goes on to say, you will look about you and take your rest in safety. The story of Job is one of someone who lost literally everything, his health, his family, his financial security. And yet in the midst of that, there is a sense or a reminder that hope in God goes beyond all of those things. And as the calendar illustration reminds us, whatever happens in our calendar this year or the next, or whatever happened in our calendar of our last year or many past years, the God of hope is present with us. Hal Lindsey once said, man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only for 1 second without hope. Hope is important. When nothing makes sense around us, how do we find that hope in a world surrounded by evil, trauma, and self-centeredness? Hope and light invade the darkness. In our faith, in our Christian faith, good news was light in the darkness through Christ. Hope has come. How do we find that hope? We look beyond the tragedy, the suffering and the loss, and find hope in the light and God of our salvation. The psalmist declares, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121. In Luke chapter 2, angels declare to fearful shepherds in a world filled with violence, hatred, oppression, and suffering. Yes, that was their world. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news for all people. In 2018, just a couple days before Christmas, my brother lay dying of cancer, and we had gathered as a family, and were singing and praying with him and reminiscing. And I shared Psalm 23, and we sang Amazing Grace. Big brother, he was the oldest, he was always giving us advice. He pointed his finger at us just a few days before he died as we read Psalm 23 and called us all by name, Dan, Fred, Becky, Phil, Debbie, don't you ever forget, no matter what, God is with you. And there was a part of me that wanted to scream, Rich, you're dying of cancer. How can you say that? And my friends, it was a deep and abiding hope, an assurance of eternal life, and a hope beyond the suffering of this life that he had deep in his spirit. For hope leads us from light to darkness. I've had a bad habit, I would say twice, my kids would argue more times than that, but I've been lost in the woods. The first time I was very young, and my brother and I were in, actually, Center County. Two boys from Pittsburgh had no clue what they were doing. And I was trailing a deer for 3.5 hours, and our flashlights went out at 6 o'clock in the evening in the middle of the mountains. And I had no idea where I was at by that point. I thought I knew, but you know, everything, all the trees are the same at that point. And I was starting to get hungry and a little scared. It's like 18 years old. But I saw a little airport, mountain airport light in the distance, and we followed that light. It was about a 5-mile walk back to our car. We were young and healthy, and we were able to do that. And then just a few years ago, I was hunting up on my brother's property, and I thought I knew where I was going, and I got off one edge where you could go for miles, and I thought I was walking back towards his field, and I didn't admit to the gentleman from the neighboring property that I was lost. I knew where I was at, right? I thought. And then I realized I didn't. And I called my family and said, well, drive the truck up the road and see if you can beep the horn and see if I can hear it. Couldn't hear a thing. Fire shot and see if we can hear it. Couldn't hear it. So they went to the gentleman's property that lives on the property my brother owns, and he said, have him fire shot. And he heard the shot, and he turned to my son, and some quite colorful language said, I know where he's at. He is really lost. And he had been trained for 30 years in search and rescue, so we had the right neighbor. And about 2.5 hours later, I saw the light coming toward me, and boy, was that welcome. At that point, I was kind of hypothermic, went back and sat around the fire for a while and hydrated myself. It was all I could do to get back to their truck from where I was lost. But I can tell you, when I saw that light, its hope has come. My rescue is here. And my friends, if your world is shaken and you're overwhelmed by a sense of helplessness or hopelessness or despair, that hope that brings peace for agitations and fears, that light that brings help in our darkest times, in the midst of our sorrow and brokenness, know that Jesus came to be the hope giver. And then as we receive that hope, then as the Apostle Paul suggested in the passage in Romans that we read, is then our job is then to pour out that hope to others. So we receive the light and the hope, and we share that hope and light to others. So whatever you face in this year and in the days ahead in your life, I don't know what that will look like for you. But may the great hope giver be present in the midst of your darkest days, bringing you hope not only for your past, but for your present and your future.